Last week we had part one as the report on the TCON meetings, which takes place January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. It takes place twice a year. And Lavendar gave a report last week on some of the main topics, but didn't get to cover everything because we only have an hour. So this week we'll be getting part two, and as I said, possibly next week we'll even have part three, depending on how much ground we can cover this evening. Lavendar has been working closely with the Pleiadians for well over 25 years, has had numerous encounters and missions, assignments, working with the Pleiadians as well as other members of the Federation. And this evening we're going to hear part two of the report from the TCONs, and it's my privilege to introduce to you now, Lavendar. Lavendar.
Yes, thank you. I think we had just two new members come on. Would you like to identify yourself?
It's a Karen. I was disconnected. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine.
Hi, it's Christina. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank
you. We're just about to get started. I have just introduced Lavendar, and tonight's topic is the TCON meetings, part two. And if you would please hit star 6 on your phone, that will put your phone on mute. And if you, at later point in the call and want to make a comment or question, you would hit star 6 again to unmute yourself. And then whenever you're not on the floor speaking or asking questions, make sure you are muted to keep the call quality up. So, one more time.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, this will be part two of TCON meetings. I'm going to talk about first the people and the energies that come together inside the TCONs on January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. On this particular time that I was up at the TCONs, however, these meetings lasted for 6 weeks. I was afforded the opportunity to go inside the mountain physically, and I took notes and was a scribe for 3 days. After this particular encounter with the TCON meetings, I was really unable to function for about 10 days in my physical and mental condition because all of the cells of my body and the frequencies that I had been exposed to really set loose in me some erratic brain behavior where I couldn't really, you know, right and left really became a problem in ordering food off a menu. I couldn't do it. I couldn't really take care of myself. So when people say, well, oh, I'd love to attend such a meeting, what do you have to go through with your physical and mental condition and how you come out after you have such an experience, it may not, you know, be so curious as to go to these meetings. I've only been there physically that I know of in my physical body one time. I have been out of body. And, of course, out of body, you come back with different information because your soul goes through the emerald crystal there and the records are released and your participation is very, very advanced technology. But I would like to mention the beings that are in attendance of these meetings. The Great White Brotherhood, Guardians of the Deep Kingdom, Starship Commanders of Intergalactic Federations, Ascended Masters of the Seven Sacred Cities, the Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares at Drew's Midway Station, 6 members of the Crystal Round Table of the Starship Bethlehem, Ascended Masters of all the 7 Rays of Initiation, and Council members from Northern Shambhala. Last week, I told you a little bit about the Earth's crystal grid system and how that that all the energies that have been placed inside the earth through the crystal grid were realigned for experiments being conducted by the different beings. They talked about the Pleiadians experiments 1, 2, and 3, and most of them are conducted through the Earth's crystal grid system. Last week I told you about the 33 Joule PowerPoints, which are on the planet, and any time that you go to these PowerPoints, people that visit these places around the planet, and if you're a starseed, or if you're a walk-in, or if you're an indigo star child, then these electromagnetic energies start happening within your body, and all of your codes get reactivated, and people just start remembering who they are and why they're here. A lot of activation has happened in these 33 gem PowerPoints. I also talked about the fact that I'm not publishing the 33 gem PowerPoints. If you have been to these meetings, then you know where they are, because it's just not... It's not safe to release this kind of information, knowing how some of these places on the planet, not the 33 gem PowerPoints, but some of the other places on the planet have been destroyed by the cabal. So we just don't give the information out over the internet or on the phone. Also, we talked about within a 200-mile radius of these 33 gem PowerPoints, will be guardians that will come in by land and become messengers. And all kinds of demon kingdoms are in abundance around these 33 gem PowerPoints. I talked a little bit about the seven sacred cities, etheric cities, and they're in the Gobi Desert, Lake Titicaca, Shambhala in Tibet, Palenque in Yucatan, and Lourdes in France, Glastonbury in England, and of course the new sacred city that's been designated as the Sierra Blancas in the Apache Mescalera Indian Reservation in New Mexico. I talked about the grid balancing procedures that come from these seven sacred cities, and how that on this particular meeting that I was at, representatives from these seven sacred cities came and they offered their information to the karmic board. These are karmic board meetings that take place and are reevaluated every 6 months. And the great records from these seven sacred cities that are brought to the Tetons were deposited in the emerald crystal for safekeeping. And these records will be used in future meetings and will be given to those that be responsible for maintaining light and balance in the land of freedom. And these records were moved at this time because of disruptions that may take place in some of the other geographical areas. So, in most of the sacred cities are under the command of the Pleiadians. You may still write. But tonight I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that are being conducted through the fourth dimensional ray. And I'm going to read directly from my journal. Several ascended masters brought forth new information about those who would not make the transition into the fourth dimensional ray. Choices would be extended to certain evolving souls as to how they would like to further their evolvement. Some could go to another planet very similar to Earth and continue their causes and effects there. Some could go aboard spacecraft and learn the secrets of universal balance as experienced by celestial travelers. Those ready to leave the physical body, and for them the next step would be to inhabit a fourth dimensional body, could then enter through the birth process of Earth, or would inhabit a combination of Earth and galactic energies done through the genetic blending of such energies, such as the galactic baby experiments. Depending on their next step of evolution, we determine if they could sustain the proper balance in these procedures. Others would be given the opportunity to become a walk-in if aligned to the mission at hand. As many walkouts will be taking place in the next few years, there will be a demand for many walk-ins to come and offer their assistance foregoing the birth experience. a close check and balancing of all soul records of those in attendance was made, and by the next climate board meeting, another evaluation of these decisions and participation will be fully reviewed. Okay, and also during that time, the activation of Halley's Comet was happening on the planet. And I won't go into the great details of how much is written here about Halley's Comet, but I will say that on November 17th, 18th, and 19th of 1985, that Halley's Comet passed directly in front of the Pleiades on those dates. And Halley's Comet has a lot to do with subliminal messages that were sent through this comet to activation to starseed and the light workers all over the planet. So, if you think about what you might have been doing back in November of 85, if you were maybe watching the planet, I mean the comet as it was going around or whatever, just remember that that was a focus point of energies, because Halley's Comet is a celestial experiment of celestial power that does happen, I think, every 77 years, I believe, is the time element on that. Let's see, what else? I'm going to talk about records that have been transmitted through a lot of warriors that showed up in these meetings. They took them out of body and brought them to transmute in the violet flame. A lot of talk about misuse of power, domination, control of the masses was a very main topic that lasted several of our hours. And many came forward and released their stories of misuse of power, and it became immediately transmuted into the violet flame of transmutation. War records and all the manipulations of warring factions were reviewed closely, and a clearing was in manifestation. Warriors, true warriors of high spiritual nature, also released from the karma of bloodshedding during their earth training. Several that had been enemies or on opposite sides in war came together, and in unison they brought forth their warrior shields and extended them to the sacred fire.
Lavendar?
Yes?
Has that thunderstorm ended yet? That's around your house, because it's really getting hard to hear you.
Really? No, it's gone now.
Do you think you could get on the other line, because it's getting increasingly hard to hear you, and there's all interference
no
on
kidding.
The line.
Okay.
I hate to interrupt the flow like this, but it's better than not being able to hear you.
Okay. Okay.
If you can get back on the other line, because this is.
Okay. All right, I will.
Okay, everyone.
Let me get off. Okay, have everybody just hang on.
Okay.
I'll come in.
We'll be here. I appreciate your patience, everyone. It was getting harder and harder. There's so much interference on the line that it was eclipsing the information, because it was being a chore to follow what she was saying. At least it was for me. And the things that she was talking about is actually from part one. So you can go back onto the website and listen to part one, which she is actually just kind of recapping quickly to get everyone up to speed so that part two makes more sense. Hello?
Yes, there I am. Is this better?
Oh, that's so much better.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was
where do I need to repeat anything, or?
It was right up until you were talking about the warriors. And then from that point on, it got really distorted for me.
Okay, I'm going to start with war records and all the manipulation of warring factions were reviewed closely, and a clearing was in manifestation. Warriors, true warriors of high spiritual nature, were also released from the karma of the bloodshedding during their earth training. Several that had been enemies or on opposite sides in war came together, and in unison they brought forth their warrior shields and extended them to the sacred fire. When this happened, cloud storms around the mountains brought forth lightning, and some struck trees as to burn, but as to melt set to the forest.
This not only took place at the Tetons, but lightning hit the earth in unison all over the world. A gigantic crystal charge was placed in the core of Mother Earth as these great warriors came together to end their war and violence records. All over the world, from China to San Francisco, from Australia to Africa, multiple clouds with celestial timing brought forth triple rainbows around the world. It was a signal to the Vedic lords and their kingdom, and to some highly spiritual warriors, especially those tribes living back in seclusion away from the world, as to let them know that great war records had been transmuted and their drums could start a new beat, one of harmony and peace, a peaceful place from their ancestors' records and also from their own. It was also noted that the bloodlines would go through great change in vibrational rate and that masses would gravitate together in order to bring about immense spiritual and religious changes. So that was mostly about the war records. A little bit about the Starfleet commands. Intergalactic federations were also in representation. The Ashtar Command, plus other commands, each Starfleet commander took participation explaining the 33 species of galactic intent. Symbols were displayed as to each species, and interaction of each as in the United Nations was brought in unison by Lord Maitreya, known to some as Teacher of the World. Starfleets from other solar systems were introduced, as this was the first time for many of them to venture to planet Earth, and many discussions were put on the Crystal Roundtable about some of the past appearances from galactic commands, and what had happened as a result was debated for several hours. It was at this meeting that several did not agree as to what and how much should be given to Earthlings, and some Starfleets left the meeting but returned in several days to continue. They returned with immense crystal records concerning the rise and downfall of other planets and what had happened to the records of the souls in participation. There was no right or wrong, good or bad, positive or negative decisions to be made. It was all in helping to align and clear records of those that had come to Earth after participation in other planets' demise. The interiors up to Earth midway station supplied all the crystal records for the Starfleet Command that presented these historic facts. And toward the end of their presentation, it was decided that all those now on Earth that still had in their records the atrocities of destruction on other planets would be able to come forward in a line of selfless service to the people of the planet and directly to the Mother Earth herself. Certain ones would be called in their sleep to attend special meetings assigned for them so that they could take whatever steps would be necessary to clear their past soul records concerning interplanetary harmonic disruptions. Those in power, or those close to power, were given 6 months in which to be of the greatest service without manipulation, domination, or control beaming from their essence. Another evaluation would take place in the next Karmic Board meeting, and it would be at that point where some would be removed physically off the planet and would be taken aboard spacecraft to help in further assistance. If they chose to stay on the planet, then a supervising walk-in would be attached to them every waking moment. This is a fail-safe system for those with powers that can create and destroy planets by the whim of their god nature. We also had on the planet at that time 200 gods and goddesses who were allowed to return from the Pleiades that had been during the time of Greece, and they were allowed to come back to the planet as walk-ins, and they were to stay for 2.5 years, and they did. And so here are some of the assignments that they had. They went around to activate their bloodlines, and this has been written by me and some other documents, but just to talk about what they empowered and supported were these things. New leadership among their bloodline. Their children are their priorities. Transformation of all energies extended toward Mother Earth. New alignments with the grid system and ley lines corresponding to the 33 gem power points and the 33 species of galactic intent. Transcend the latest inventions of technology, astral medicine, and to formulate remedies for rejuvenation and longevity, and to help support and power all PhD experiments 1, 2, and 3, lend assistance to starseed walk-ins and light workers in networking of the new age of reason, regardless of species, national and international leaders, great and small, to come to terms with control of the masses and their power, help supply telecommunication systems that will finally reach starships and other planetary communication systems so that Earth can take her final step to interstellar communication with other stellar bodies, extend help for alchemist procedures. Celestial beings have volunteered to come to Earth just for the transmutation of the alchemy process, which corresponds to the fourth and fifth dimensional ray vibrations, to support, empower, and creatively direct all programs listed above for 8 seasons plus 1 month. Then evaluation of extensions of time will be weighed by the cosmic scales. After these seasons pass, most will have finished their Earth assignments. That was quite a, I was very involved with that, and as I said, I have that in other documentations, and I have a lot of stories to tell about the beings that I did interact with during that 2 year period. I would like to talk a little bit about Northern Shambhala. I have not seen the movie Avatar, but it makes me think of the blue race in the center of the earth, and I will read a couple of passages that happened at the meeting concerning the blue race. An intergalactic substation was erected eons ago in the region of the North Pole. An entire civilization of beings come and go from there with much regularity, and this is the place of Admiral Byrd's mysterious visit that has been fully documented. The Star Bethlehem spaceship, now referred to as TX-11, comes and goes from this location on moon cycles each month. It also goes to places like Mount Shasta in California, Mount Rainier in Washington, Mount Escondida in Arizona, and Mount Pisgah in Colorado, and Sierra Blanca in Ruidoso, New Mexico, and San Francisco Peak at Flagstaff, Arizona, and some other places. The Blue Race has established underground experimental stations in some of the areas just mentioned. They are responsible exclusively to the cloning operations of the species, meaning that entire species are cloned from plants and humans, each residing within its own nature. And no crossbreeding is done, as was done in Atlantis. No, this becomes a violation of cosmic law. Watchers from the center of the earth vibrate of knowing facilities. They are not human, but they are not animal either. Think of them as you would think of the people of the mist, an intelligence that resonates to all that is. They extend their energies to travel the grid system, and they work very closely with the genies of the pyramids, the Devic lords, the Devic kingdoms. They seldom communicate with earthlings unless the earthling is a combination mixture of genie and Devic energies. Their purpose is to balance Mother Earth through crystalline measure. Planetary energies trigger their entire operations, plus the corresponding of cosmic energies that function through the copper grids and the pyramid time capsules of Pleiadian synchronization. In some instances, the watchers of the center of the earth have been known to block out the electricity of several cities because of electrical imbalances in the earth. The watchers of east, west, north, and south winds, watchers of the center of the earth, and four watchers of space all belong to the same celestial kingdom. They all work together in harmonic, sequential, clock-like fashion, and all watchers have the same frequency of attunement. When an earthling taps the energy of one of them, all is tapped. They are as one in universal mind. So all one is all, and all is one. Aria, would you like to stop now and maybe open it up for discussion?
Would like to ask a question.
Okay.
Well, the Star of Bethlehem, if it is every month makes a visit to the North Pole, then it is pretty much in residence around the planet. It doesn't travel back and forth
like the other ships do?
Yes, it's pretty much... the places that I mentioned are visited regularly. It's a loop that it makes.
And this would be the same star Bethlehem that led the wise men. It's not a...
That's
star Bethlehem was not a star. It was
That's right. That was the ship. That's correct.
The same ship.
The same ship.
And
genetically, they genetically engineered the experiment of Christ, and everything was put in motion 500 years in genetics before Christ was even born. And it all happened with the engineering gods of the starship Bethlehem. I know this may sound very far-fetched for a lot of people on the phone, but that's the way it has been given to me.
Well, in strict interpretation, Jesus was the Son of God.
Yes, he was.
They just didn't say which God.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately there is only one, and the demonstration was to show a way, not to start a religion. Man took it from there.
Right.
But
they also had, though, the way they knew the consciousness of man on the planet, so they had to... the experiment was to see how people would react when he would do healings and all these things that were beyond their realm of, you know, thinking, like when he raised Lazarus from the dead, or when he, you know, changed water into wine. And they wanted to see what would happen, and they got to see what happened.
And that had to sink in.
That's a whole other discussion.
that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
So I will open the floor at this time for questions, comments. Just press star 6 and you will be unmuting yourself. And then when your question is done, press star 6 again so the next person can come on. Okay, you're all stunned.
Well, Ariel, why don't you ask me questions? You pretty well know the questions, you know, they're probably thinking about.
Well, I'm going back to the meetings inside the Tetons. They happen twice a year. All of these highly evolved beings come and they meet. It's like the United Nations, Starfleet Federation, all these different races that come together with a single purpose.
And they also call out a body. They have at any given time 144,000 souls that come through the Emerald Crystal to get their instructions and then go back into their bodies, you know, during this 7-day period. And the starseed on the planet are the ones that are in attendance of these meetings. So a lot of you on the phone tonight, you know, are in attendance. You go to these meetings. You may not remember.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're not there.
That's right. And why don't you talk about the erasure thing and the subliminal part of this, because, like you said, many people on the call tonight have probably been in attendance at these meetings, but yet in their everyday third-dimensional brain have no recollection of it, and it's like they're hearing about it for the first time, maybe. So why don't you explain the precautions that are taken to guard people's realities?
First of all, depending on your state of evolution and where you are in your development, depends on how long you stay at the meeting. There are some that come to the meetings that are only there 5 or 10 minutes. There's others that will stay 45 minutes, or some will stay 2 or 3 hours, some will stay 6 hours, depending on how much information needs to be passed on in frequency. Think of it as a microchip that you go and get, bring back, wake up, you go in, and you know, as you're brushing your teeth and going about your day, all of a sudden, you just know things. And you think, wow, where'd that come from? Gee, I just flashed on that. Or the phone will ring. And then your day starts, and then the information that's just happened to you starts revealing itself. Or maybe you wake up and look at the person next to you and go, why am I married to you? Goodbye. That's happened a lot after these TETON meetings because the person evolves so sometimes so quickly in their soul from the moment they leave and come back, all of a sudden they're very clear about some things they've been putting up with, say, in a marriage, and they no longer want to do that, you know, just to please everyone else. And so a lot of decisions are made on a personal level and also about jobs. They'll say, gee, why am I doing this job? I don't like this job. This is not what I came here to do. They're very subtle. You'll just have subtle inclinations of things that will take place, and you go, oh, well, that was meant to be, or it becomes easy. It becomes easy. Now, for some, I've seen some that it was really hard. You know, they'd wake up and they had such revelations. You know, they would just not only leave their families, they'd leave their jobs, they'd jump on airplanes and just leave the country. It took a while for them to come to terms with that, but I've seen that happen.
Well, it's what happens when all the lights come on too fast. Sometimes you go into overload.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, you got too much information. When somebody says, oh, you've given me way too much information, well, that sometimes happens. I did talk about last week that we have technologies on the planet that have been activating people ahead of their missions. So everyone that has came to the TETON meetings in January had a reset button. And the reset buttons would put them back on the time tracks that were set for their own evolutionary patterns. I mean, can you imagine someone that was going to be here for 10 years and they had 2 weeks to live, and or vice versa? Or, you know, people that you were supposed to meet and have a life with were completely taken off your screen and there's no memory of them. This is the kind of stuff that some of the technology on the planet has been doing with the cell phone towers, the computers, and heaven knows what's going to happen to us with the airport screening procedures. And I am researching the technology right now. I'll keep you posted. This will be my second week on this technology, which completely goes into your cells and gives you an upshot of life force and talks to all the cells, stops the aging process. It just clears all the organs in 8 minutes. And I do it in the morning. I do it at night. I am very sold on this machine. I have a 3 or 4 more days to go before I do my full 2 weeks. And I will certainly have another report for you next week about this wonderful technology. All I can say is it's not leaving this house. You know, wherever I go, this will be with me. It has 6 Tesla coils built into the pad. The minute I heard that, I knew it had to be good.
Mm-hmm. It's basically the anti-technology.
Well, you know what? It's like I kept saying for so long, you know, prayer is great, but when was the last time you went to your TV and put your hands on it and said, heal, you know? It's like the technologies that are being used on us, we have to find anti-technology to undo it.
Right.
And so I have found that. So I'm pretty excited about this revelation. And being hit 3 times by lightning, believe you me, you know, I am hooked up a little different, and I have to find things to, you know, calm some of the frequencies down in my body. So, yeah, I'll have to report. And we'll maybe have the person that introduced this to me on the call and have him explain it further, anyone that wants to further know about this technology. So, do you think I've covered what you just asked me a while ago, or did I just go off?
Well, you didn't go off. We just came. We came through the circle. If anyone has a question about the TETON meetings or anything that we've talked about this evening, you can press *6 and ask your question or make a comment.
I do. This is Troy. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Troy.
Hey, I was just wondering, is it possible to have perceived these meetings in like a meditation?
Absolutely.
And if I did, how would I know if the TETON meetings and not just something else I'm perceiving?
You just, you know, there's a place in you that just knows. You know, there's a lot. I've had a lot of people that go into a meditative state, and somehow they're Pardon me.
That was just. I think there was something on the line.
Okay. Think of it as a file in a computer that just drops down and just downloads, and all of a sudden you just know things. That's the way it is. If you're in a meditative state, you'll just start unraveling it.
What about the timing? Would that also give you a clue?
What do you mean by timing?
If you were meditating and it was during the first week of January.
No, of course.
And you stopped eating.
Yes.
Perhaps if it was in the middle of March, it might be something else.
That's
but
true.
Timing
yes.
would give you a clue as to whether
Absolutely.
It was in the first
time. Absolutely.
Well, I do remember that it was in the winter, but I don't remember when, so I don't know exactly. But all I remember is what I saw, like visually saw, but I don't remember anything as far as, like, information.
And what did you see?
I saw what looked like a kind of like a dark place, like a cave, but there were, like, beings. I felt like they were highly evolved beings, and they were, like, hooded in what looked like Jedi robes. So, I don't know, I had no idea. I only saw it for, like, 15 seconds, and then I kind of lost the connection.
Well, they have this huge emerald crystal in the middle of the room that's lit up, and this is where they keep all the soul records. Did you see that?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
I wasn't there very long at all.
Okay.
Well, like Lavendar said, some people are there for a few minutes, and some people are there for a few hours, and some people are there the whole time. So it could have, I mean, it very, very well could have been that something was downloaded, and it's on a time delay waiting for an activation, or just has to seep into your system. But you've got lots of crystals, Troy. How can he use the crystals to connect him with, if there was a download?
He has some of the Giza crystals?
No, he has lots of crystals.
Oh, he has
a big collection.
Yeah.
Oh, he has a large crystal collection. Well, you know, quartz crystals are amplifiers, and I don't know where all your crystals have come from, but they probably need to be taken out to the sun, you know, on these galactic days. And the galactic days are when the sun is 25, 26, 27 degrees of any sign. And if you have an affirmist that you'll, you know, or have an astrologer to tell you when those days are, that's when you put your crystals in the sun.
Okay.
At noon.
At noon.
Mm-hmm. Generally between the 15th and the 20th,
yeah.
Somewhere around in there.
Right.
Of any month.
Of any month.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'll be here, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone else have a question?
Hi there. It's Linda. I have a question.
Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, Lavender. Last week you were talking about the news, and you said that Dick Cheney was there. I thought this was all good guys. Explain it, please. What was he doing there?
You said that he bought property near.
He's owned property up there for years. And a lot of the cabal players are at these meetings. And they are given very stern lectures about their behavior. And it's very hard to comprehend. I mean, this isn't about what you think of. Both sides that have powers on the planet are called to these meetings so that they can balance misuse of power.
I see.
And he would always come back after these meetings and thumb his nose up at the T-Town meetings. And he would go into something crazy like saying that there was, you know, mass destructive devices in Iraq. For heaven's sake. It's very hard to, it took me a while to get a hold of that one. And I still have trouble with it.
Does the light have any ultimate power over that dark side of the cabal, or is it Is it just, what is it?
Can you repeat that again?
I said, does the light have any ultimate power over these dark ones? Or is it they get chastised and then if they don't do what they say, I mean, is it just, does it just play out like that or is there an upper hand somewhere?
Well, it's not structured like that. It's, here are the plays, here's what you choose to do. If you choose to do that, here will be the consequences of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about power. All of it.
But they do draw a line where, when it comes to the safety of the
planet
itself,
right.
For people, but they do draw a line where they will take jurisdiction, they will take power. But up to that line, the only way to truly conquer the dark is allow it to choose to be light.
So what responsibility do we have as part of the collective that's affected? What's right action on our part?
Well, divine right action comes from within, when it's triggered within your soul. When you're given a set of circumstances to make choices about,
mm-hmm.
you know, there'll be choices where you will have to draw the line in the sand,
mm-hmm.
literally, and say, you know, I just, not because of a belief system, but because morality, because of your soul morality, you cannot go there because it would harm, you know, some other person.
Right.
You cannot harm others for your benefit. And I'll tell you, the greatest sin in the whole universe is never interfere with a person on their way home. And it may not be the home you think. So never interfere. If a person makes a decision and you know it's a bad one,
mm-hmm.
And it breaks your heart and you try to tell them and they go ahead and do it anyway,
yeah.
You must withdraw because your
mm-hmm.
interference could really bring an imbalance to several systems.
Hmm.
And a lot of people don't get that or understand it. And
right.
That's where the teaching of come out of judgment comes. Do not judge anything.
Right.
You don't know what the cabal are here to experience. They're not really here to learn anything. I have since learned, and that's funny, I should use the term learn, that learning isn't about what it's about. It's about the experiencing of the energies. You choose to experience them not because you need to learn something from them. You choose to experience them because it's part of the evolutionary path of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
This whole learning thing and school and learning and all those are terms that are really keep us set in bondage. And that makes us go into polarity of what's right and what's wrong. And then we keep all that going then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A similar example, I think, a scenario that would illustrate your question. In the Old West, which we had talked about in a few talks ago, in the Old West, there was lawlessness, people going around shooting people, doing evil deeds everywhere, and they weren't here to learn to be better people or better outlaws. They were here to create so much chaos that our only option was to create law. So the law actually came out of the lawlessness. So in that way, people like Jesse James helped in the evolution towards law and order and civilization.
It was a 19-year experiment from the Pleiades. That one was conducted directly from the starship Bethlehem. The gunfighters of the West.
Mm-hmm. So it had a purpose, even though we couldn't, being right in it, like if we were living in the Old West, we couldn't possibly see any purpose from having the stagecoach be robbed and people be killed. But in the very, very much larger picture, it brought about, it forced law to be brought forward. So, you know, in that, the cabal are just like naughty children, and you can't make them act in a certain way, you have to allow them to choose to act, even though in the time being it's painful and destructive. But the only way that they will truly be conquered is if they choose to be different themselves. You can't force that choice on them, because you'd be in the wrong for interfering, and they wouldn't progress. So does that kind of...
It kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. What does that leave us in the collective who are experiencing the results of their darkness? I mean, what if I don't want to experience the energies of chemtrails anymore, or of, you know, criminal banking, or of, where does that leave me in terms of, I'm trying to look at the paradigm and figure out what it is.
Am I part of all these undesirable things that you do not want in your life, you have identified them as, this is not something that I wish to experience. You have to seek out a counterbalance. Like, we can't escape electromagnetic radiation, but we can find something that will balance it out.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't escape pollution. You can't escape the chemicals in your food, but you can take this other stuff that will help get the chemicals out. You know, it's a system of balances. So whatever it is that you're wishing not to participate in, there are many things out there when you identify what it is that will balance out for you personally in your life. You know, and it, you know, chemtrails are one of the things, and things that you would use, whether it was technology or herbal, you know, things that you would ingest to balance out the effect of that on your body.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just mad about it, that's a different thing, because you choose how you feel. But when things are physically affecting you, there are a lot of options available to counterbalance. You can't stop it, but at least you can neutralize the effects that it has on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So does that? Yeah, it does.
What about, I mean, the way society is, our institutions, do we have any say in that? How do we look at that? I mean, a lot of institutions have been set up that are not for the greater good. And until people stop doing that, we just sit in, I mean, I'm not understanding the paradigm of the whole thing. Do we have a play in creating that? Do we have a play in making it better? Or do we just wait till these dark ones decide to do it differently?
You have to build something. You have to build something better than what's already there so that others will come. You know, get out of polarity. Don't try to tell people how wrong they are. Build something better so that that people will come in your direction.
Right, okay.
Right, yeah. When you try to fight something, you know, fight this, fight war, fight poverty, fight AIDS, fight cancer, fight drugs.
And you're just fighting.
All you're doing is adding energy to the opposition because you're focused.
Right.
So you create something positive that has more energy, and you just suck the life out of that without ever even pulling your gun, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Question or comment from anyone else? Press star 6 and we'll be able to hear you.
Hi, I just wanted to say hello. I came on late. It's Alicia in Long Beach.
Hello, Alicia. I thought that might have been you.
I've been listening for a few minutes now, but I just wanted to announce that I was here and say hi.
Good. Thank you.
I'm muting myself again now.
Okay. Well, for Alicia and anyone else that joined us late, this call will be posted on starseedhotline.com. Go to the headline news page, which you can hit the banner is going across the top of the page, and you can just click on that, and it'll take you to the headline news page, and the archives for all of these calls will be there. You can listen to them right there, or you can download them on your own computer. They're free for everyone, so you can catch up on what you may have missed this evening or in previous calls. So, once again, I want to invite you to join us on starseedhotline.ning.com, where everybody can talk and chat and watch videos, listen to music. We have a marketplace there if you have something you'd like to sell, a product, a service that can, it's like classified ads for Starseed, and we figure why not keep it in the family? So you're looking to buy something, check here first. It has a, we've only been had it open for about 6 weeks, so it's not huge yet, but if you have something, go ahead and add it there. And then when people have something that they want to buy, they should check there first so that they can give their business to other starseeds. That was the idea behind the creation of it anyway. So if we have no more questions,
I would like Dr. Deborah to give me her phone number so I can call her and talk to her right now.
Well, let her email it to you.
Okay.
Unless he wants to give it to everybody.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Okay, can you email me, Dr. Deborah, so I can call you back in a few minutes?
She's got her...
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, can you email me now?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, email me your number because I need to call and I need to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay. Just email me the number and I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Okay. Well, nice talking to everyone and see you next Wednesday. Next Wednesday we'll probably talk about walk-ins and how walk-ins happen and maybe some of the experiences that I've had with the Yucatan experiment. I was going to talk about some of it tonight, but we'll wait and do it next week. And if you have any friends that want to come on, let us, you know, tell them about what we're doing. And any star seeds that want to know about their star placement, we would love to be able to talk to you. So refer them to our website. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Lavendar, thank you so much for joining us and spending your time with us. We will be back next week. Everyone will get an email with the call numbers and times and everything. Everyone will get a reminder. And with that, we say good night and thank you.